चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन स्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महामदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरतिशे नमः। गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकाय तदाले कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः। अंगश्यामलिं छटाभिरभितो मन्दे कृतेन्देवरम् जटंजागुदरोचसंविदधसंपट्टम्बरस्य वृन्दारण्यनिवासिनं हृदिलसद्दामाकुलाहोदरम् On the auspicious day of Prapujya Charan, Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, disappearance day. So many his disciples, they offer their Pushpanjali in his lotus feet. Some are remaining. I request them to speak
10 minutes.
10 to 15 minutes, more than. There are so many.
10 minutes. अगर सब 5 मिनट बोले हम 10 मिनट दिन बेसी मिले पाल देंगे।
First,
भागवत महाराज।
श्याम रानी will give his lotus flowers.
ॐ अज्ञानमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनसलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। First I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev, Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupaya, Astotarastata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev, Om Vishnupaya, Astotarastata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivedanta Vaman Goswami Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. So on this most auspicious disappearance day of our Divine Guru Maharaj, Nityalila Pravishtam Vishnupad Stogadu Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I'd like to speak a few words about some examples of how He and His whole distributed succession and our Gurudev are teaching us that Guru is one. And I'll do it through the medium of how Srila Gurudev and our Srila Prabhupada are so merciful that even though we're the most fallen and wretched and insignificant, they're giving us such very beautiful, excellent tattva, Harikatha, morning and evening. Just as Srila Gurudev is presenting Sri Rai Ramanand Sambhad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussions with Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, soon you'll be hearing Rupa Shiksha, Sanatana Shiksha, Rakhiyatra Prasangam. Similarly, right from the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was doing this. I joined him in 1966 in October, a very drugged out hippie following all the immoral principles of Kali Yuga. In fact, the very first time I met him, he said to me, "Oh, do you live nearby?" And I said, "Yes, I live very near," because I thought I was the all-pervading impersonal Godhead. So he said, "Good, then you can come to our classes in the morning," which was actually an hour and a half train ride away from where I lived in the Bronx. So right from when I started coming, Srila Prabhupada was giving classes on Sri Sanatan Shiksha. Although we didn't have any idea even that there was a Sanskrit language, Srila Prabhupada was quoting so many Sanskrit verses. Varaja Shaktir Vividoiva Shriyate Svabhava Gyanam Balakriyacha, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies. So Srila Prabhupada would give very high tattva and so much Sanskrit verses, and at the same time, he'd give very simple examples so that we can get some indication of his meaning. For example, in explaining that verse, he said, just like I say, finger, come here, scratch my head. And immediately it comes as if automatically. Similarly, Supreme Lord is controlling infinite universes, spiritual and material, but he's doing it in such a natural way that it seems that it's going on automatically. And then Parashya Brahmana Shakti Ateda Mapi Dhamjaga, that everything manifest is nothing but an expansion of the Supreme Lord's energies. Just like the sun is situated in one place or a fire, but by its heat and light, it expands its influence everywhere. Similarly, the material and spiritual worlds are just like that in relation to the Supreme Lord. Every day, new and new verses, tattva, beautiful teachings to Sanatana Goswami. He tells us about Tadaketna Rupa, by Bhava Prakash, Prabhava Prakash, all the different incarnations of Krishna, the Guna avatars, the Leela avatars, so many wonderful examples. And at the same time, because he saw us as his little children, he would always try and encourage us that we're coming up in Krishna consciousness and that we're doing services to him, even though everything was his mercy and he was just dragging us to his lotus feet from the realms of hellish Maya. For example, he was explaining that although Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishate, the Supreme Lord is perfect and complete, and because he's completely perfect, all emanations from him, just like this physical world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Although so many complete units, innumerable universes emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. 1 + 1 = 1, 1 - 1 = 1. And then to encourage, very encouraging to me, nothing but an immoral hippie, he said, just like our Jadarani, she is doing so many paintings, but she has not diminished. So then, besides his very beautiful lectures, which are now becoming, which have now become so many books. Just early this morning, Bhansi Vadan Prabhu from Orissa came and said, "Where can I get a copy of Prabhupada's volumes of his Bhagavad Gita lectures?" So all of his lectures are in very beautiful books. Hundreds and hundreds of volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam lectures, Bhagavad Gita lectures, Chaitanya Charitamrita lectures. So Srila Gurudev, because Guru is one, and as Srila Gurudev said, "I am his only real successor. He is Bhaktivedanta, and I am Bhaktivedanta. And no one in the world can love him as much as I do. So, so similarly, just as Srila Prabhupada has all of his lectures in the form of books, last year in Russia, Srila Gurudev ordered that all of his morning walks from every year and all of his darshans from every year be turned into books. He said it would be very beneficial to the world. So now I'd like to discuss how these two gurus are one in terms of book publication and book distribution. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada had a press in his very first ISKCON temple down on the Lower East Side Bowery, where all the bums lived, which was about as big as Srila Gurudev's Vyasasan, one of those cranking presses. And we used to print Srila Prabhupada's Back to Godhead magazines. And it was a stencil press. So I would make the first ISKCON drawings on those stencils. So the first one I did was Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis. And I copied it from one of those Gita Press Panga prints. And our first editor, Rai Ramadas, got the explanation of that picture from Gita Press of Gorakhpur. That actually this picture is symbolic, this scene is symbolic, and what it really means is that everyone should stand naked before the Impersonal Absolute. So that went on the Back to Godhead, but it wasn't quite distributed, we were still collating it. And then Rai Rama sent Prabhupada some advanced copies, and Prabhupada wrote back a letter, "I came to this Western world just to defeat that nonsense Mayavad philosophy and to establish that Krishna's pastimes are the highest reality, especially Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are the highest reality. And in your putting this Mayavadi philosophy in my magazine, it should be immediately ripped out of every book," which it was. He wanted pictures in his books, just as Srila Gurudev does, but he wrote us that Krishna's philosophy should be illustrated, but it should be illustrated according to the parampara revelation of the Absolute Truth. And when I wouldn't do it like that, like I did a Rasalila painting for his third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, which unfortunately was printed before he saw it, and still he said it should be ripped out of every book, because Krishna's hair was very long, wild and flowing, and so is the gopis. And Prabhupada said she has made them just like a hippie plaything, because she herself is a hippie. Then in 1969, in his Boston temple, he got a bigger press. This press was maybe half the length of this room, the width of the room. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased there. He said, as soon as he saw the press, he fell down flat and offered his obeisances to his Guru Maharaj with Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paritrajakacharya. And then he said that my Guru Maharaj wanted books printed over anything else, except of course loving bhajan. We are doing this to the best of ability, of our ability, and we are receiving benefits beyond our results, beyond our expectations. At that time, Prabhupada told the printers, the devotees who were working at the printing press, "You should keep this printing press as clean as glass, and then it will last a long time." He said, "This press is my heart." And then the devotees called out, "No, Prabhupada, oh, this press is the heart of ISKCON." So they said, "No, Prabhupada, you're the heart of ISKCON." So Prabhupada said, "But this press is my heart." And then he said, "I want books now to come out very, very quickly. I'm going to dictate 10 pages a day on the dictaphone. Then I'll give it to the editors in Boston. They will type it. For 2 days they get to type it and do the first editing. The second editor should also take 2 days. Then the Sanskrit editor should put in the diacritics for 2 days. And then at that time there was no computers. There was the, in between the typewriter and the computer, the composer. It was called the composer. So the composers get 2 days. The artists, there were three of us artists at that time. The first artist will lay in the colors, the second artist, that was me, will develop it, and the third artist will put in the details. They'll each get 2 days. So whereas each painting takes 6 days to complete, every 2 days a new painting is coming out to go in Prabhupada's books. So he said, in that way, I will have 15 tapes turned into manuscripts once a month, and that's 300 pages every 2 months. I want a book to come out, so that after 10 years, I'll have 60 volumes of books, which actually happened by his power. Then, around 1974, and everything that's happening with Gurudev is exactly the same. Just as Prabhupada had us do the Chaitanya Charitamrita Marathon of 17 volumes of books in 2 months, that is, he'd already made 3 volumes of the first 3 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then he wanted the rest of the 15 volumes to be made in 2 months, plus the 2 volumes of the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he was telling the devotees on the morning walk that I want 17 volumes in 2 months, the devotee said, that's impossible, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a Fool's Dictionary. And by his power, it was actually done. Srila Gurudev is the same way. A couple of weeks before this temple was opened, a few years ago, Srila Gurudev called the artist, and he said, I want bas reliefs on the front and the back done by your team, which was a totally impossible task. 35 big bas reliefs with line drawings, tone sketches, color sketches, retrospective, so many things. And then, about 2 weeks later, we had a month to do it, about 2 weeks later, we weren't able to go on the parikrama, but we brought the computer to show Gurudev in Mathura as the pictures were being developed so that he can give any direction. I said, Gurudev, if you would have just told us a few weeks earlier, we would have a better chance to get them done on time. But you're just like Prabhupada, you gave us this very strenuous, intense marathon. He gave us 17 volumes in 2 months, and you gave us 35 big bas reliefs in 1 month. So Gurudev said, yes, he is Bhaktivedanta, and I am also Bhaktivedanta. I am no less than him. So in 1974, just like with Srila Gurudev, with Srila Prabhupada's books, there was a lot of controversy. Who are these books for? So many of the devotees who were working at ISKCON Press, it was called ISKCON Press by Prabhupada before he later named it Bhaktivedanta Book Press. So the editors and typesetters were saying that these books, especially Prabhupada was just coming out with Adi Leela Chapter 7, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussions with Prakashananda Saraswati, proving that the Absolute Truth is personal, proving Shakti Parinambad, and completely destroying Sankaracharya's Vivartavad philosophy, very, very high-level Siddhanta. So Srila Prabhupada wanted just that chapter to come for mass distribution. So the devotees were arguing that Srila Prabhupada's books, Majjalila, Anjalila, they're only for scholars. They should only be distributed, or printed rather, in small numbers, just for the devotees. Does that sound familiar? So I wrote to Prabhupada and asked him, is this true? And Prabhupada wrote, no, all my books are meant for all classes of people. And Srila Gurudev, Prabhupada's successor, the same thing happened, the same controversy. So in the Fiji airport, I asked Gurudev that the devotees are saying that your simple, small books like Way of Love are meant for mass distribution, and your books like Brahma Samhita and Vajra Rahasya are meant only for the seasoned devotees. So immediately Gurudev said, no, all my books for all people, all for all. So then I quoted the devotees to Gurudev and I said, the devotees think the books might as well be written in Chinese, because there's so much Sanskrit verses and terms that it's impossible for the Western audience to understand. So So Buddha said, no, all for all. If the books just get in their hands, then my mission is accomplished. Similarly, in 1996, the same controversy, and Ramanath Prabhu from England and I went to Gurudev and said, so are these books for just for advanced devotees, like Bhagavad Gita? Gurudev said, why? There's nothing lusty in there. Somebody will put them in their Almira, and then somebody else who has the Sukritis will get them. So Prabhupada and Gurudev are the same, are one. Prabhupada said at the end of his Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end of his writing of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last thing he wrote in his Chaitanya Charitamrita is that all this has come under the inspiration of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If he was physically present today, he would find this as a great source of jubilation, a great festival. But even though he's not physically present, I know that he's very pleased. So I request all my disciples who are determined to help me in my mission that they will see that all these books go to religionists, scholars, students, professors, and all people in general. Similarly, Srila Gurudev said, he says all over the world, in every festival, that I want all my whole book table empty. If you don't empty my book table, then I will think you are not pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada's time, all the youngsters, the teenagers, they gave up their teenage enjoyment and went to the seaports, airports, malls and shops to distribute his books. But my devotees are not so qualified. And one last thing, I told Srila Gurudev that when Srila Prabhupada told us to stop everything and preach his mission and everything would come, we all jumped out of our seats. We wanted to go in the middle of his lectures because it was so exciting. It was too good to be true. But we find that your disciples, you tell them that Krishna will send money from the sky. Don't worry about money. Just go out and preach. Krishna will take care of everything. But they are shy to do this. They don't believe it. So Gurudev said, then I was saying, you say that to your girls, that the money will shower from the sky. So Gurudev said, okay, then let them put their saris over their heads, put bangles all up their arms, and just go in the kitchen. So he wants everybody to spread the mission. He said, give your love to Krishna in Odessa, give all your love to Krishna, but give your love to all living entities. Otherwise, if you're not preaching, just doing what you consider bhajan, then that's selfishness. He said, give your love to all living entities, not to manipulate them, but to be just like the tree. Prabhupada and Gurudev were the same in their moods for preaching. Gurudev, can I tell you this?
20 minutes.
25 already.
Maybe I'll stop here. So all very Srila Prabhupada,
Vrindavan Vilasini will give lotus flower on the feet of Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj.
First of all, I'd like to offer my heartfelt and specially and in the lotus feet of my Diksha Guru, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, my Srila Prabhupada. And second of all, I'd like to offer my heartfelt and specially and my Diksha Guru, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Narayana Maharaj, my Guru Guru. Well, it's hard to follow Shamaraniji. I was praying that I could come last and not have to follow her. But anyhow, I wasn't so fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada's direct association, external association, as much as Shamarani Devi was. But I wanted to give a little example from my own life, because so many of the disciples of Srila Narayana Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada aren't able to have this direct association. But that doesn't mean that we can't be so close to our gurus. and have an intimate association, intimate servant to our Guru. I joined the movement in 1972. I was also a degraded hippie. In fact, I was a worm and stool. But Srila Prabhupada is so kind. What did Srila Prabhupada do? Even though he's the highest of the high, his qualities are a magnificent ocean. They're just ever expanding like this. Why? Because who is Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada is Rupa Nuga. That means he's a follower of Sri Rupa. Sri Rupa externally, Sri Rupa Goswami. And as we heard from Shamarani Devi, he was constantly spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his heart, fulfilling the inner desire of his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. But internally, Sri Rupa is Sri Rupa Manjari. And Srila Prabhupada is in the group of Sri Rupa Manjari. And Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says that those in the group of Sri Rupa Manjari are no less than Sri Rupa Manjari, their group leader. So Srila Prabhupada has all that potency. Not only that potency, but he has all that love and affection. He's brimming, it's ever increasing. And this ever-increasing ocean comes from where? It comes from Srimati Radhika. So Srimati Radhika, she has so much love and compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls. So she sent Srila Prabhupada. Why? How do we know this? Because Krishna, on his own birthday, on Nandotsava, he thought, oh, I have to give a gift, because in India, everyone gives gifts on their birthdays. Not that they take gifts, they give gifts. So Krishna decided, I want to give something very special to this world. So he asked Srimati Radharani, please give me one of your near and dear. These kind of personalities are the only ones that can actually give what I want to have given to the conditioned soul. So Srimati Radharani asked Sri Rupa, please give one of your near and dear. And Srila Prabhupada appeared on Nandotsava to give this kind of mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. This is Srila Prabhupada's highest glories, his most intimate, confidential quality, that he's a follower of Sri Rupa, in the group of Sri Rupa. So that's why he could do what he did, because we wonder, how is it? How could he do? He was so hidden. His whole life, life in preparation. He's seemingly a householder. Seemingly just, you know, spending his time with the Bengal chemicals, spending his time selling medicines like this. What was happening? He was waiting. Because a real disciple simply carries the order of his guru on his head and in his heart and just waits for the time. Always wanting to know, when is the time I will simply be able to fulfill the order of my guru? But the time wasn't right. Yoga Maya was making the time right because he had to do something very, very special. He had to break through the boundaries of India. Krishna consciousness, Sri Chaitanya's message has been spread all over India by all the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all our Guru Varga before that. But who took this love and affection outside of India? Something very, very difficult. Actually, a sannyasi isn't even supposed to travel over the ocean. He broke through all those rules and regulations that were blocking the actual unlimited flow of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He broke through so many things. Women aren't supposed to be on the altar. He said, okay, go on the altar, dress the deities, cook for the deities. He broke through so many of the boundaries that were binding the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from going to every conditioned soul as a Rupa Nuga, because in Rupa Nuga conception, Dada, we're not the body. We're not men, we're not women. And Prabhupada, he just spread it everywhere. Men, women, black, white, doesn't matter. You're a worm and stool, you're a dancing white elephant, take it. Just take it. You know, he brought it. Come, come, come. And when know, to go to with everyone with his toothbrush, you know, like him. He seemed very ordinary and normal in one sense. But we were so attracted. Why? Because he had Braj Bhakti. He had this love and affection of Brajabhumi in his heart, of Sri Rupa, Srimati Radhika, Sri Krishna. You know, but he was acting like an ordinary person, so that we could relate to him. And he said, like to me, he says to me, in one sense, in my heart he goes, please come, little worm in the stool. But he didn't see that. He sees Jiva soul. He doesn't see all the stool. He doesn't see, he says, Jiva soul, come, come. I'm your father. You can be my darling daughter. Please be my darling daughter. Just like Srila Gurudev says to all his daughters or his sons, be my son. Prabhupada gave sambandha. He gave relationship that we can relate to. Not just as Jiva, because Jiva's there, but something we could, please be my daughter. Please, please come, you know, please help me. You can assist me, and I will give you everything. You just give one little life, and I will give you everything. He made us feel like, just tomorrow, we're going back home, back to Godhead. He gave us so much hope, even though we were totally unqualified. So unqualified, but he had that power to make us feel just a tiny drop of what of that ananda in our heart that saved us. Not, we really didn't have it, but he opened the door just a little bit, and gave us a little taste of what that ananda is. So much so that ananda is like that. Even if you get one fraction of a drop, you know, you can't forget it. So many of Prabhupada's disciples who've gone off, they can never forget Prabhupada. Never. And what he made them taste in assisting him in his service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, never can they forget. Because ananda is something spiritual. Save ananda, which is between two people, the served and the server. This is, and we were allowed to have just one peep into that. And what did we want? We only wanted more and more and more of that. But we were qualified. So then Prabhupada left. And we were just heart-stricken. What to do now? What to do? But he had given us a jewel, actually, that attachment to him. All we wanted was his smile. We didn't really want money. We didn't want, you know, a husband or a wife. We just wanted his smile. And when were we going to get it again? He had already left. What were we going to do? That meant we had to follow the process and get very serious and become qualified so that we can meet him again in the spiritual world and assist our Guru Sakhi in her seva to Radha and Krishna eternally. But this is very difficult. So Srila Prabhupada very kindly gave us Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Maharaj to help us to qualify so that we can actually see Prabhupada again and attain his smile.
Manjari will come and give Pushpanjali in his Gurudev lotus feet.
So Virat likhe nahi sir.
Huh?
Virat likhe nahi.
Without writing.
So onek likhe nahi sir. Onek kichu likhe nahi sir. Manjari will onek kichu likhe nahi sir.
Try to speak like Vrindavan Vilasani, not reading a chart very 2 mile long.
Like a Manjari.
You can speak more better than me.
You are a Manjari. Don't read.
Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nidhikam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lotus Feet of Srila Prabhupada. I pray for his mercy that I'll be able to glorify him Offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Maharaj. And I pray for his mercy that I'll be able to follow his order and be able to speak as beautifully as Shamaradi and Vrindavan Vilasam. But anyway, we can only try. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, and I pray for your mercy as well. I'm so much in awe of my god sisters because of their wonderful relationship with their spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and because of their very sincere sadhana that they are able to transmit to all of us their love for him. And I hope that I can also attain a drop of that. It's actually the most difficult thing to be able to glorify one's guru, because this is, like Vrindavan Vilasini said, our guru has saved us. We are no better than worms in stool. And especially being born in the Western countries, we can graphically see that. Sometimes those who are born in pious families think that they're pious, just like those who are born in rich or aristocratic families think they have something to show for it. But actually we have nothing. And only by the mercy of Guru, we're here. There's a wonderful verse in the Sweta Sutara Upanishad. Yasya deve parabhaktir yatha deve titha guru tasyate katitahyata prakashante mahatmanah. Only unto those who have implicit faith in the Lord and the Guru are all the imports of the Vedic literature revealed. And so Srila Prabhupada was this Mahatma, and unto him all the imports of the Vedic literature revealed. And Srila Prabhupada has revealed all of it to us, and he's continuing to reveal it. And if we have implicit faith, then we'll be able to understand it. The Guru is giving everything to all his disciples. It's only a matter of the disciples' receptivity. Srila Prabhupada, we should never doubt this. He gave everything, and he gave all levels of bhakti, importantly. It's only our receptivity. And now there's this, in relation to this particular verse, I was always wondering, a thought came, as to, it says, implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, and I was thinking about this idea. In one respect, Vrindavan was saying, how the Ananda happens only between two. You can't say the Guru without the Lord without his devotee. And so to say, like, only by the mercy of the spiritual master, all these things are revealed. And this is like a type of impersonalism. Now, but there's a tendency for this. There's a verse in the Gopal Champu in which Narad Muni says that to worship the Guru and to neglect the Lord, these are, he's talking about the seven javelins in his heart. He's speaking to Krishna. And these are the seven javelins in his heart. And one of them is to worship the Guru without to worship the Lord to worship the Guru and not the Lord. And why is this? Because there's a tendency to separate the Guru from his Ishtadeva. And how is this? How would we do that? It's because in considering our Guru, we see he sends so many things. We see he does so many things. So there's a tendency to see that he is he's in a material way, and to not understand that pratikshana swadana lodipasya, that the Guru at every moment is remembering. Lodipasya means with intense greed. He's tasting the sweetness of Sri Radhika Madhava. And so because of this, because we don't remember this, and there is a tendency to be confused as to what the Guru has come to give. And so, when we look at what Srila Prabhupada has come to give, I was remembering that when I became a devotee, it was in Hawaii, I joined the Radha Krishna Temple, it was called. But actually, Radha and Krishna, the deities Radha and Krishna weren't there. We didn't worship any deities. It was in 1970, and we only had a picture of Gorni Thai. But Srila Prabhupada called it the Radha Krishna Temple. And why is this? All his temples, actually, no matter who it was being worshipped in the temples, all the temples were the Radha Krishna temples. And this is because Prabhupada wanted to let us know that we are all worshippers of Radha and Krishna. And this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give. And when probably most of you don't remember, but there was one some years ago, a very embarrassing moment when Srila Narayan Maharaj, he told me to speak about the inner mood of Srila Prabhupada. What Srila Prabhupada came to give, what is his inner mood? And I remember I was thinking, oh my God, how can I speak about that? What can I say about Srila Prabhupada's inner mood? I haven't experienced it. And I became like so shocked. I just sat down. And afterwards I asked him, I said, how can I speak about the inner mood of Srila Prabhupada when I haven't even experienced it? And Maharaj told me, he said, the inner mood of Srila Prabhupada is so high. And he went like this. It's so high. He said, even I haven't experienced it. He said, but actually we know this is his humility, because pratikshana swadana lodipasya. But then he said, but we can understand it, just like we understand what the inner mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And what is this inner mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And so when he said that, I understood that Srila Prabhupada is a Rupa Nuga. Prabhupada is told all of us we're Rupa Nuga, so he is Rupa Nuga. We are in the Anugati of Srila Rupa Goswami. We're in the Anugati of Srila Rupa Manjari. And so, who is Rupa Goswami? He is the dearmost Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitami and Bhutale. We say this, he is the dearmost of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he has established Mahaprabhu's mission in this world. And he has explained to us what is the heart's desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the verse Anarpita Chirim Chirat Karunaya Vatirna Kala. He has appeared in the age of the Kali to distribute what no other avatar has ever given, Unatotula Rasam Swabhaktishriya, the most beautiful and elevated mellow. of conjugal vows. He has given the share of the bhakti of Srimati Radhika. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has come to give. And just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mission of Mahaprabhu, or the heart's desire, is understood by Srila Rupa Goswami. And so,
Gaur Pramanandi.
And so Srila Prabhupada understood also the heart's desire of Srila Rupa Goswami in establishing his Antarashtriya Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He established it based on the verse of Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavati Mati. And this is the consciousness of being absorbed in the mellows of Krishna. And he explained that when this goes on, this ardent desire of lolya for Krishna Bhakti Ras, then this is ISKCON. And he said that, he explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually Narad Muni is a member of ISKCON. Lord Shiva is a member of ISKCON. And so we shouldn't see it in a sectarian way. But actually, in our hearts, if we're attempting to serve Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the line of Srila Prabhupada, then we are his true followers.
Shriman Nemi Maharaj will
offer Pushpanjali.
Bhagavad Maharaj is here.
Yantivirandasya Yananchana Shlakaya Chakshurundalitam Yena Tasmanshi Udhudadeva Maha Namo Vishnupadaya Vishnupirstaya Bhutalem Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namo Namo Vishnupadaya Radhikaya Priyatmare Shri Shima Bhakti Vedanta Narayani ti namane vanchakalpatribhyascha vipassandhubhyayavacha uditanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Of my unlimited basis at the lotus feet of my beloved Diksha Guru, Nitya Lila Pravishna Mishtapad, Astopira Sati Shishimad, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, our Srila Prabhupada, at the lotus feet of my beloved Shikshan Sanyas Guru, Rupata Gavara Shishima, Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. So Rupanur Guru Varga, all Vaishnavas present, headed right to Sri Nigam. Srila Gurudev has instructed me to glorify my most glorious spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Nityalila Pravishti, Shishima Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. So this morning we had the great good fortune of hearing real glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Gurudev, like Sharani Didi said, Srila Gurudev has said, nobody loves Swami Maharaj as much as I do. He says, I have seen your Guru from every aspect. And Srila Prabhupada himself said that one can only understand a pure devotee when one hears from another pure devotee on the same level. So this morning we heard very beautiful glorification of Srila Prabhupada from our Srila Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada was, every Acharya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya, is extraordinary, unique. And Srila Prabhupada was extraordinary in a very visible way. Unprecedented. What he achieved was quite unprecedented. He lit a beacon. Gaurachand Prabhu this morning, he described how his life changed. He stepped in the door, and from that moment his life changed completely. When a beacon is lit, then everything changes. It's giving news. Something extraordinary is happening. And it's calling people to action. So Srila Prabhupada, he lit a beacon which hadn't been lit in thousands of years at least. Or millions of years. He lit a beacon of Vedic wisdom. Vedic culture, real human culture, loving relationships, real religion, perfection of spirituality. The highest limit of loving service to the very highest aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And some responded, and they took flames from that beacon, and they went all over the world lighting more beacons. And in this way, this, the light from this beacon is expanding, 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 without end. Srila Gurudev has said that we can understand that the mountain is very high, but it's also very deep. So how high Srila Gurudev's achievement, that in a few short years, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He went from India. At that time, it was unthinkable that anybody could take Gaudiya Vaishnavism and take it to the West, where everyone was living like animals. Srila Prabhupada not only attempted to achieve the impossible, but he prayed for strength. He brought strength to himself. Constantly, he was, every so often, he would go to Shiva Sangha, and he would pray and cry for mercy to achieve the impossible. We know that when he was staying in Radha Damodar temple, at night he would sweep the floor and cry out, oh Gurudev, please give me mercy. So he's praying for mercy. And at the same time he was meditating, 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 how to achieve the impossible. How to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that animals could understand and could engage. And he did it. By Krishna's grace, by the grace of his Guru Maharaj, he did it. So this is the height that he spread Krishna consciousness. He translated the literatures, he spread them all over the world. But also, he established the limit of loving service. He established the personality of Godhead. He established service. Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the only spiritual path where the devotee wants nothing from the Lord. Not material wealth, not even liberation. Not even liberation to the spiritual world. And Srila Gurudev gave this good and he personified it. And he gave that supreme, he, for those who could understand, he established Brajmu, not only Brajmu, Madhurira, so difficult to understand for those who are engaged in material sex life. And not only Madhuras, but the moon of the assistants of Srimati Radhika, who don't want to associate directly with Krishna, but they want to assist the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This conception he established both theoretically and practically by his own absorption in those moons. He soaked the earth in that bath. Srila Gurudev has glorified him this morning. And from a material point of view also, Srila Prabhupada, Gurudev described quite graphically how his material business failed. But when he went to the West, how his spiritual business prospered. Extraordinary success. He went with how many dollars? Like $12 or something. $7. Huh? In rupees. $7 in rupees. And he converted in a very short time millions and millions and millions of dollars. So many properties. So, how he did this, this is an extraordinary example even for material personalities to follow his process. He is an extraordinary leader by material point of view. The leader, what is leadership? Following first. Srila Prabhupada was the ideal follower, like this morning we read that very, very beautiful prayer. How he's glorifying his Guru Maharaj. How by the will of his Guru Maharaj, the holy name will be heard all over the world. And then he says, I have to accomplish this task. He's following. Right in the very beginning, there's a conversation. He's talking to one lady in New York. He said, it is very inconvenient to be here. He was still by himself. It is very uncomfortable. But I have an instruction from higher authority. This is the principle. He was following. And he followed the process. He followed the principles. Then the leader sets the example. What an example Srila Prabhupada set. Utsaha nishchaya dhairya. His enthusiasm, year after year after year, when only opposition, he said, he just had oppression, depression, suppression by his godbrothers. Nobody was supporting and helping. Sure, Srila Gurudev was supporting, sending mridangas, cartels, sweets also, dainties. But otherwise, who knew what Srila Prabhupada would establish? His spiritual master knew. Srila Paragurudev knew. Srila Gurudev knew. But who else knew? Maybe nobody else knew. But he persevered. Utsaha, nishchaya. He knew that this would succeed. And dhairya, he was patient. How patient? How long he waited? The leader has a vision. And he gives that to everybody. It's something that everyone can share. Srila Prabhupada had a vision of spreading Krishna consciousness. This glorious process all over the world. Of changing the world. A vision of going back home, back to Godhead. A vision of love. And we could share it. It was something we could grasp. And he enabled us to act. He didn't just ask us to sit and stare at the wall and chant 2 lakhs names every day. But he gave us practical service. He saw that we couldn't sit down and chant for long. So he gave us practical service. He established a practical mission. Book distribution. Preserve distribution. Cow protection. So many practical activities, and he made sure that there were systems in place so that the devotees were engaged. Our energy was engaged in Krishna's service, and at the same time, we were getting the association of the devotees, the deities, prasadam, harikatha, morning and evening, kirtan, japa, all these things. He engaged us. He was a fearless. The leader knows what to keep and what to innovate. So Srila Prabhupada was a fearless, conservative innovator. He saved what had to be saved. The essence of Krishna consciousness, he kept and he gave. And fearlessly he changed what could be changed. How many rounds we chanted? What was the process? Saraswati, Srila Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada's previous teachers, they come and they said, yeah, we can make Westerns into Brahmins. How can you do it? How easy. You just have to give up meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and illicit sex. So Lord Zeppelin said, this is impossible. This is our life. Srila Prabhupada, he did it the other way. Instead of saying, you have to give up and then I'll give, first he gave. Without any condition. Like Srila Gurudev is explaining in Vedagi, Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilakya Kaman Ridroga Mashrapahinocha Chirena Dira. First of all, when we hear from the pure devotee, love will come, bhakti will come in the heart, and then this rubbish will go. This is the process that Srila Gurudev is giving. This is the process that Prabhupada gave. I remember when I first came to the temple, I was desperate for some kind of inner reality. I didn't give up anything, but I took some prasadam and then I joined in the kirtan. And I could feel this reality. This is real. This is real. And once you have it, you can't give it up. It's impossible. The leader, he encourages the heart. How Srila Prabhupada encouraged us. Constantly writing letters, 10 letters, 20 letters every day. Establishing festivals in India, and traveling. Even when he was so weak, he couldn't move. In Vrindavan, 1977, he could not turn over, he's like a baby, in constant pain, but still thinking of how he could encourage the devotees. His doctor told him, don't go to the West. And he went. He went to America, and when he came back, he was wrecked, completely wrecked. And the doctor met him again. He said, I told you, don't go to the West. Now look. And Prabhupada said, what could I do? I can't live without the devotees, and they can't live without me. So, in all ways, Srila Prabhupada set the supreme, superlative example of leadership. So, and he's not only established this process, but also he's brought us to the point where we can come to our Srila Gurudev's lotus feet. And Srila Gurudev is explaining actually what Prabhupada was talking about. Actually, what is his mission? Even actually, what is his name? I thought his name was Bhaktivedanta Swami. And then Gurudev explained, no, his name is Swami. That's why he called him Swamiji. And still in his tongue, they don't know. So Srila Gurudev is explaining these things, and he's actually training us to to follow. So I'm praying at the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada that birth after birth, I can simply serve their lotus feet. I don't want anything else, and I pray that by Gurudev's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, this is what I will have.
So, not take time more than 10 minutes. Now Bhagavat Maharaj will come. Here, let me hear.
Why you daily come late?
I was not well this morning, just now. I had
perhaps you know that I know everything more than them. You should come in my room after class.
Maharaj, little aside.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sakara Nikara Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Bhagavani Vaidhi Devi Vishnu Sakara Vaidhi Sakara Namo Vishnu Padaya Radhikaya Priyatma Sisi Maharaj Bhakti Vedanta Namani. First of all, I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my Diksha Guru, Padmaraja Padmutu Yupan Sri Srimati Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj. And then again, I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my Shikshya and Sannyas Guru, Sri Srimati Bhaktivedanta Narayana Swami Maharaj. So, Srila Prabhupada, he was an extraordinary personality by anyone's measure. I remember studying the folio one time and reading how in three or four different places, in lectures, books, and conversations, he kept telling the story about how his father had invited so many sadhus to come to his home. And when the sadhus would come, he would feed them, etc. And then he would ask them, "You please bless my son that he will become a devotee of Radharani." So like this, from hearing this instruction, from hearing what was the wish of his father, who Srila Prabhupada said was a pure devotee, he can understand that this was actually Srila Prabhupada's position, that he would become a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. He says as much in Chaitanya Charitamrita that somehow or other I am now engaged in the service as a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. So Srila Prabhupada, he had a very intimate relationship with his Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur, he used to not associate so much with Srila Saraswati Thakur because he was a householder, he had family, he had responsibilities, and he was not always able to associate as intimately. In fact, he wrote this as much in a letter in the last days before Srila Saraswati Thakur left. And he said, "Because of my position as a grihastha and as a businessman, I have not been able to associate with you as intimately as your brahmacharis and sannyasis. However, if you could please instruct me what it is that you want me to do, then I would like to render some service to your lotus feet." And in his response, Srila Saraswati Thakur said, that I want you to preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world. This was the last instruction that he received from Srila Prabhupada, from Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it was the first instruction he had received. When he first met Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Guru Maharaj was sitting there only a short period of time, and quickly Saraswati Thakur said to him, "You are educated young men in the English language. You should preach the mission of Mahaprabhu in the West." So this was the first instruction Srila Prabhupada got, and it was the last instruction that he got. Srila Prabhupada remarked in a letter that he once wrote to Srimati Shamarani that the beginning of my spiritual life, of my spiritual relationship with my spiritual master, this is in September of 1974, came when I heard those instructions, when I first heard. From the first minute I heard from him, that is the beginning of my relationship. So it's very significant how he establishes this principle that the relationship with the spiritual master begins by hearing. It is nurtured by hearing, and its success comes about through the process of hearing. So this mission that Srila Saraswati Thakur requested Prabhupada to perform, both in his first meeting and in his last instruction to him, was something that came up again and again throughout their history. Once, when they were in Bombay, because my Srila Prabhupada had helped to establish the Bombay Gaudiya Math in Bandra. So then when Srila Saraswati Thakur came to install the deities, there was one brahmachari, he used to come and visit the Juhu temple, and he told us, he was Prabhupada's godbrother, that there was a meeting in the room. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was there, Srila Saraswati Thakur, and this brahmachari was there. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj suggested to Srila Saraswati Thakur that you should make Abai the president of the monk. You should put him in charge because he's done so much to establish it. And Srila Saraswati Thakur said, no, I have a much greater service for him to do, much bigger service than simply managing this monk. And then a few days later, when there was some discussion, because at that time when he established the deities in the Bombay Gaudiya Math, Ban Maharaj, Sri Ridoy Ban Maharaj, had just returned from
England.
And when he came, he had not been as successful as Srila Saraswati Thakur had hoped. So they were discussing who will go next to speak in the West, who will go next to preach. So at that time, Narottamananda Brahmachari was there, the other person who helped to establish the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti. So Narottamananda Brahmachari, who then became Bhakti Kamala Madhusudana Maharaj, he tells the story that Srila Saraswati Thakur told me, "You should go, you speak English very nicely, so Narottam should go and preach in the West." So he said, "I began weeping in front of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and I told him, 'I cannot leave your lotus feet, how I will go to the West, how I will preach, you please don't make me weep.' So then he said, okay, don't weep, it's all right, you do not have to follow this order." He said, "Besides, Abai Babu, he will go and do everything." So like this, Srila Saraswati Thakur kept bringing up this point, that this was Srila Prabhupada's mission. Between them, it was understood he was the person who would carry this out. Nayana Baba, Srila Prabhupada's other godbrother, makes this point in his remembrances of Srila Prabhupada in the last Navadvip Parikram. In Navadvip, Srila Saraswati Thakur in 1936 was talking again about the mission of preaching in the West. Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga Thakur, had just come back from the West, and he also had not been as successful as Srila Saraswati Thakur had hoped. And so, he was speaking, Srila Saraswati Thakur, about the situation, and he said, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur wanted that the mission of Mahaprabhu should be preached in the Western world. And my saintly mother, Bhagavati Devi, she begged me on her deathbed
that please preach the mission of Mahaprabhu in the West. He said, therefore I have given the lifeblood of the Gaudiya Mutt in the form of money to send preachers to the West. But up to now, their preaching mission has not been successful, he told them. Then, he was looking out in front at the brahmacharis and sannyasis, and Ayyanababa said he turned to the left and he started looking over in the area where the grihasthas were. And there he saw that Srila Saraswati Thakur appeared to be looking directly at him. But then he realized he was looking behind him. So then Ayyanababa turned and he looked and he saw Abhai Babu, Srila Prabhupada, standing there, and that he was looking at Srila Saraswati Thakur in a very intimate way. And after looking at him for some time, they looked at each other in a very intimate embrace of the eyes, and Srila Saraswati Thakur turned again to the front, and he said to everyone, I have a prediction to make today. That whoever will go to the West next, no matter how long it shall take, when he returns, he will bring the whole world back to India. So in this way, it was a very intimate understanding between Srila Saraswati Thakur and my Srila Prabhupada, that he was the one who would fulfill this mission, who would fulfill the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, Bhagavati Devi, of the previous acharyas, to preach in the Western world.
One second.
I was present when Srila Narayan Maharaj came and met with Srila Prabhupada on different occasions. I wanted to say a couple of words about this to all of you.
So many speakers still.
So, one time Srila Narayan Maharaj came. That time he asked me to come with him to the side of the bed. That was the first time I met him. And we introduced I introduced myself to him. He told me what his name was. He said, you come with me, I want to show you something. Then he was pointing to Srila Prabhupada lying in the bed. He said, you see how your Guru Maharaj's hands there like this, like mudra, over his head. You see how his neck is arched, his back is arched, his feet are like this in a pointy position. He said, this is called dancing pose. He said, right now your Guru Maharaj is dancing with Radha and Krishna. Then later, about 2 hours later, after Srila Narayan Maharaj, then he spoke, they sang Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. He nourished Srila Prabhupada's mood and love. Then he left. Then about 2 hours later, when Srila Prabhupada came out of very deep samadhi, he told, I have just been speaking with Krishna. So then we could understand, at least I understood at that moment, in my mind. Srila Narayan Maharaj has said, Prabhupada was with Krishna, and Prabhupada is now saying, I was with Krishna. And then in the last day, when Prabhupada was leaving this world, he was moving about on the bed, exhibiting many ecstatic symptoms, rolling back and forth, crying, trembling, shaking like this. Many, many different symptoms of ecstasy he was exhibiting. And although we were all...
Ten minutes.
Gurave Gaura Chandraya Vadunaya Shagaraya Krishna Krishna Vangaya Kalpakaya Mora Pachanma Paturi Vyascha Nivasya Gurave Vyascha Siddhara Khadarajya Vaishma Hedra Mahari. So on this most auspicious glorious day, I would like to begin by offering first my most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of my beloved Diksha Guru, Sri Guru Parampadma, Nitya Lila Mahishna, Krishna Bhad, Askar, Tarasanta, Sri Sivan, Dr. Garanta, Swami Vashura Parampadma. And the same heartfelt obeisances at the lotus feet of my beloved Shiksha Sanyas Guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kumaraya, Swami Vashura. And all these summer sannyasins at Vaishnava's prison. Actually, this has been such a glorious, glorious experience associating and hearing from the Vaishnavas. This day of separation is one of the greatest instructional moments that Sri Guru can give. Sri Guru comes into our presence, he associates with us, he gives us his instruction, his example, his love, and then he leaves. And then time yearly, we come together and we glorify that personality. At that time, what we have received from our Guru and what we have given to him will again become manifest. This day of Srila Prabhupada is coming just one day after the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Vedanta Vamana Swami Raj, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Chirmikram Raj, in the same month as Srila Bhakti Vedanta Keshav Raj, a day before the disappearance of Srila Bhakti Sridhup Siddhanti Goswami Raj. And during this time, we are hearing the glories of these great personalities. And hearing from all these Vaishnavas, when I get up to speak, I realize I have nothing to say. They've said it all. They've said everything. I have nothing to add. But then one small thing came into my mind. It was when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay at that time when Srila Prabhupada was talking. They had a Vyas Puja. And Srila Prabhupada at that time gave a very famous speech that has been printed over and over. And he's talking about Sri Guru. And he says Sri Guru is universal. He says there is only one Guru, Sri Guru. And he is the Guru of all. And I could never understand that. I mean, in one sense, in a general philosophical way, yes, Guru is one, Guru is one. I could understand that. But now, it's only since I've come into the association of Srila Gurudev, his disciples, Srila Chirmikram Raj as well, and have heard repeatedly from them, Guru Tattva, that some glimmer of understanding about that principle is coming into my heart. If you recollect, in the last few days, we have heard the disciples of Srila Bhaktivedanta Bhagavad Swami Raj, the Shiksha disciples of Srila Chirmikram Raj, the Diksha disciples of Srila Bhaktivedanta Keshav Raj, disciples of Srila Bhakti, Bhaksak Srila Goswami Raj speaking. And there's an amazing common thread. They're all glorifying their Guru with great heartfelt feeling. They're all extolling the same incredible qualities. They're all explaining this great sense of mercy and connection. And in that sense, even though these personalities are all different, that Guru is one. And when I was first coming into this Sangha, I myself was struggling because I began to read Srila Gurudev's books. I had met him. I had become very attached and hopeful in his association. I had felt very strongly that Srila Prabhupada had sent me to him and him to me. This was very strong. And then I went to the Parikram in 1997. And I was trying to figure out, what is Shiksha Guru? What is Diksha Guru? Is there a difference? What is the oneness? And I wanted to be a shishya. I wanted to be a disciple of Srila Gurudev. And I did not want to give up my connection with Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes in a small-minded, materialistic way, we misunderstand the principle of guru. And we think that our heart only has so much love to give. I can only give it to this one person. If I give it to anyone else, I'll have nothing left. This is material, and it's limited. The spirit soul is unlimited in their capacity to give and receive love. But this there's a boundary there. So one day in the morning, early in the morning, at the Rupa Sanatan Bodhirmat, Srila Tripitaka Maharaj was there, and he was alone. And nobody was associating with him so much. He would give classes, they were very heavy, everyone was scared of him. And I remember being in the Mathura Math a few days before, and he was giving a class, so I went in and I sat down, and he began to speak very strongly about Sri Radhanath Das Goswami and his renunciation. And I was the only Westerner in there. And he began to speak so strongly, then he turned, and he looked right at me, and he pointed, and he smiled, and he laughed, and he said, "What do you think of that, white man?" And I thought, this is a very wonderful, generous personality. So that morning I thought, I want to ask him a question. So I went and I kneeled before him, and I spoke to him with words and with my heart, that I was trying to come close to Srila Gurudev, and I was grasping, what is the difference between Shiksha and Diksha Guru? And so I said, "Maharaj, I want to understand this. What is the difference between Shiksha and Diksha Guru?" And he looked at me, and all of a sudden this huge smile came on his face, and his eyes lit up, and he said, "Nothing!" And I said, "What? There is no difference!" And he was so ecstatic and warm and loving. All my doubts were dispelled. He spoke right into my heart. And then very quickly after that, I was able to totally give myself in heart to Srila Gurudev, and then before leaving Parikram, he met with me. I left a couple days early, and I sat in his room, and he said to me, "Oh, you've been married?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "How many times?" Westerner, right? And then I said, "Oh, once." And he said, "I want that you should never be married again." I said, "Okay." And he said, "And I want that you should serve me as you served your beloved Gurudev." And at that time I could understand a oneness, a love, a connection, an infusion in spirit to pick up that same mood of service to Srila Prabhupada and continue it, and to do it under the guidance of Srila Gurudev. And so all of these beautiful offerings that we've been hearing, it's been so inspirational to hear about the service of my god sisters, my god brothers, and then to see that same service mood reflected in all of your eyes and all of your hearts. And I just pray that we all take up this mood, understand this day, that this day is meant to imbibe and infuse and inspire us in the mood of service to our gurus. We can embrace this spirit in a universal family way and spread it all over the world under the guidance of our beloved Guru.
First, I want to offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, especially my Diksha Guru, Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. I send those to you, Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, my Diksha Guru, Bhaktivinoda Srila Prabhupada Maharaj. all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas present here today, and praying for the mercy of Radha Giri, to please be merciful on me. Hare Krishna. So, it is very difficult for someone who is very low and ignorant to glorify somebody who is very exalted and fully transcendental. It is just like a sparrow trying to fly to the moon, or like a young boy who knows arithmetic to glorify Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. But I've been asked to speak something, so I say a few words on the order of Srila Gurudev. So Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in 1922. On that eventful day he said, "I realized what love really is when I saw my Gurudev's lotus feet." So there was a transmission of transcendental energy. And as we all know, Krishna Shakti Pinanahi Parapara Dham. Nobody can actually preach Krishna consciousness, especially all over the world, without being fully empowered by Sri Krishna and Divine Grace Radharani. So in 1933, he took initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He became Swami Maharaj. And then in 1944, he started publishing his Bhaktigata magazine. I don't know, he was printing just a few pages and he would take it to the tea stalls and go himself personally and introduce himself and ask people to pay for it. And then this way his publishing and preaching business started. And that Bhaktivedanta, of course, was carried over to the West when he came to the West. And in 1946, that's, I believe, is when Srila Gurudev met Srila Prabhupada in Navadvip. And also, we know he gave him his encouragement to take sannyas. He took sannyas from Srila Bhakti Praga Kisha Maharaj in 1959, I believe. And then he went to the West in 1965. There he landed in Boston and then eventually came to New York. So Srila Prabhupada coined a lot of original ideas, even a lot of original words. He started Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he referred to Bhagavan or God. Why? Because he wanted to emphasize that the Supreme, Almighty, Absolute was a person. And America, as it was the whole world, was completely covered by impersonal Mayavad philosophy. The first person who came to America from the West was Vivekananda, and he was, of course, a gross impersonalist. So, Prabhupada wanted to set the record straight, therefore he coined this word, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we know God was a person. So this he carried forth in his publication, Bhagavad Gita, which was picked up by Krishna's mercy by Macmillan, one of the biggest publishers in America. And by that time he had already conscripted so many young Vaishnavis like Srimati Shamrani, Vrindavan Lasini, and so many others to take that Bhagavad Gita and push it into the hands of all the people in the world to understand that God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also coined another word. Well, it was already there in the dictionary, but he brought it out to light, and that was rascal. We like this word rascal so much, as well as the word rascal dog. So those who were completely averse to worshipping the Supreme Lord as a person, who were averse to the principle of bhakti as the topmost transcendental process to attain Krishna, then they got hit by this hammer as a rascal. He also brought to light the word disciplic. Disciplic is not in the dictionary. You can look, you won't find it. The Prabhupada brought that word out to show the emphasis on our sampradaya, the living system of parampara, whereby Krishna consciousness and Krishna's words
it's brought into the modern day for us to realize, so that the cyclic succession continues with the present living Acharya. And it's not a dead thing. After Prabhupada left, many people came to the feeling that this sampradaya has stopped with Srila Prabhupada, but that's not the case, as everybody here knows very well. So, Prabhupada was the most practical person we ever met. He inspired so many people. And he had so many dramatic episodes in the world in establishing his mission. He set up temples in key places. He always said Bombay was my office, so he established the temple there at Jubilee Beach. After so much struggle with one Mr. Nair, who he did on the pillow sale he gave to Prabhupada, but still Prabhupada was persistent, and eventually that person who reneged left his body by transcendental arrangement. So that property is there now at the big glorious temple. His home was Mayapur there. His home was Vrindavan, and then Mayapur is where he would worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And office was Bombay.
So, as far as practicality, he was giving examples like a dog. A dog and it's barking, and barking at you, woof, woof, woof. How can you possibly explain to the dog? This barking is actually irritating. It is creating a sound vibration that will not help anyone or anything. Why don't you just stop barking? So you can't convince a dog by logic and argument to stop barking. What do you have to do? You just give the dog a bone, and he's very happy and he goes away. So similarly, many people object to Krishna consciousness. They have so much attachment to this material world. They have so many weird conceptions. So they would all go to them and say, here, take some Mahaprasad, Hare Krishna. So this is our program. Prabhupada introduced this in Chandigarh in America. We offer a Dandavat pranams at his lotus feet. We pray. He is still here today. When he disappeared in 1977 on November 14th, Srila Gurudev explained that your Prabhupada has not left. He's still here. He is here also in the heart of Srila Gurudev. Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada is like a dynamic duo. It's because Vedic Bhakti was very much established by Srila Prabhupada, and Raghunuga, which was the real message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the primary purpose Srila Gurudev is bringing to light in his books and his preaching. So these two Bhakti Vedantas are like the most dynamic duo that ever has had in the material world. Srila Gurudev was the first Bhakti Vedanta, actually, and Srila Prabhupada was the second Bhakti Vedanta. But Srila Gurudev actually, with his Guru Maharaj, gave Prabhupada his sannyas, his vesh, and with that empowerment from Bhakti Purification Maharaj, he circled the globe. And our Gurudev is also circling the globe. So in every respect that Guru Parampara is living on, and we offer our Dandavat pranams at their lotus feet and pray every minute that they will please be merciful unto us, so we can also do something to please them and save the conditioned souls in this material world.